Thank you for your visit. I hope that this intervention and this meeting is not very bored after lunch, but we'll try to make this in movement with your questions and situations that you want to present after my intervention. So thank you for your coming here. Dean and Deputy Command Stephen Marion. I knew him now because I noticed that he was in AFRICOM in Stuttgart, where I and my colleague that is there visited last week. We were in Stuttgart also visiting AFRICOM. It's a very important command that is situated there in that place. And he has a lot of information about the evolution of a very important continent that is Africa. And it was very interesting to have a contact with this command and to know something else about what is happening there and what is the position of different powers in that continent. So I would like to begin by briefly summarizing the role of the Assembly of the Republic. Assembly of the Republic is our parliament in terms of national defense, namely regarding the work carried out by the National Defense Committee. At the end of my speech, my fellow MPs that are here and I will be available to answer any questions you may have. I will be addressing the constitutional and legal framework of the Assembly of the Republic with respect to national defense. The role of the National Defense Committee, parliamentary representation in external bodies, external representation and European affairs. The constitutional and legal framework of the Assembly of the Republic with respect to national defense. The Assembly is the primary holder of legislative power from among the bodies and that exercise sovereign power over the Portuguese state. Furthermore, it is the quintessential forum for political dialogue, exchanging opinions, but also for consensus building, and therefore it has a fundamental role and a decisive say in terms of national defense. Thus, the main competencies entrusted to the Assembly of the Republic by the Constitution are political and legislative competencies, as well as the power to scrutinize, monitor public administration and government action. In what regards the legislative competence, the Assembly of the Republic is the only body with powers to legislate on all matters with the sole exception of the organization and function of the government. The Assembly has exclusive competence to legislate on numerous matters. It has exclusive legislative competence, and the government may legislate on other matters subject to prior authorization from the Assembly, which is referred to a partially exclusive legislative competence. In general terms, it can be said that the constitutional legislator has opted for entrusting the Assembly with powers to legislate on matters deemed to be fundamental components of society or of greater political stature. This has a number of implications, namely regarding the transparency and openness of the legislative procedure and the process of hearing the views of society, since the political forces with greater electoral expression are represented in the Assembly. It is important to note that the main legislation within the scope of national defense is encompassed by the Parliament's exclusive legislative competence. In matters of defense, it's this body that has the main competence. In fact, the pieces of legislation framing national defense, such as the National Defense Law, the Basic Organic Law of the Organization of the Armed Forces, and the Military Programming Law, to name a few, must be approved by a law of the Assembly, and their approval requires a qualified majority. The other main competences of the Assembly of the Republic relates to issues of a political nature, and to the scrutiny of public administration and government action. In practice, this competence consists of a set of actions, namely the obligation of each minister to attend the plenary in each legislative session for a session of questions, holding hearings before the committees with the members of the government, military leaders, or other civilian or military entities deemed necessary to clarify the issues under analysis. Visits of the National Defense Committee to units, establishments, and bodies of the armed forces. Visits to other relevant entities within the scope of national defense, monitoring the implementation of the military programming law and law on military infrastructure programming. Nowadays we are discussing in our parliament the military programming law. This is the law related to capacities of the armed forces. The visits I mentioned are extremely important to us since they allow us to have a closer look at the situation, to become more aware of potential problems and difficulties, and to keep track of their progress. Any MP may also submit written questions or requests to the government and must receive an answer within 30 days. Additionally, we have to take into account certain potestative rights of parliamentary groups, such as holding debates with the presence of the government or hearings of ministers before the committee. Under the political competence, the Assembly of the Republic is also entrusted with other important powers, including in relation to other bodies that exercise sovereign power, namely the competence to authorize the President of the Republic to declare war or to make peace, the competence to authorize and confirm declarations of a state of siege or a state of emergency, the competence to monitor and consider Portugal participation in the process of constructing the European Union, and the competence to supervise involvement of military contingents and security forces abroad. It should also be highlighted that the Parliament has exclusive competence to approve international treaties, and the Constitution makes explicit reference to treaties and concern Portugal participation in international organizations, peace, defense, or military affairs. In state affairs, as it is the case of national defense, the search for broad consensus is one of the Parliament's primary concerns. In fact, when the best interests of the country are at stake, this is an area where we often find that party political quarrels are put aside in order to safeguard the greater common interest. The area of defense is really a very important issue, the most important issue at national level, so we look forward to have a large consensus on these issues. A prime example of this role of the Assembly in the strategic is the strategic concept of national defense, which consists of, along with the government's program, one of the basic guiding documents for national policy. Although the government has the exclusive competence to approve the strategic concept of national defense, the national defense law requires that prior to its adoption, a debate is held at the Assembly of the Republic where its major structuring options shall be approved. However, it was preceded by a set of initiatives aimed at thoroughly analyzing the documents submitted to the Assembly of the Republic by the government. So the strategic concept is one of the guides of our political defense, and at the same time with the program of the government that is in functions. The National Defense Committee. As you all know, the Assembly of the Republic functions in plenary, where we have 230 MPs have a seat and where the most visible activities within our powers are carried out. Nonetheless, the different committees also do extremely important work at this Assembly, although less visible. There are 12 parliamentary standing committees specializing in different areas in this legislature. The National Defense Committee is the third standing committee, and it is composed of 23 full members and 20 alternate members. The National Defense Committee is responsible for monitoring policies relating to national defense, the armed forces, and maritime affairs overseen by the Ministry of National Defense, as well as in general for exercising its powers of political control in the areas overseen by said ministry. As a whole, the National Defense Committee meets on a weekly basis on Tuesday afternoon. The committee meetings are usually public, although it sometimes is necessary to meet in camera when this is justified by the confidential nature of the matters to be addressed. One of the main attributions of the committee is to consider all legislative initiatives concerning national defense. This means, in broad strokes, a first consideration of the general principles, with the approval of an opinion drawn up by a member of the committee, and afterwards, after the plenary has approved the general principles, an assessment of the details, including an article by article analysis of the initiative in question and possible amendments thereto. In this process, it is sometimes necessary to hold hearings, especially of members of the government, military leaders, and other civilian and military bodies. In addition, the National Defense Committee may be called upon to assess draft resolutions for the approval of international treaties related to defense and to carry out the parliamentary assessment of executive laws of the government. This is an important competence of the Parliament, allowing it to amend, suspend, or terminate legislation approved by the government. The Defense Committee regularly holds hearings with the Minister of National Defense. There are, in fact, four mandatory hearings during each legislative session. Pursuant to the rules of procedure of the Assembly of the Republic, but this figure is usually exceeded, and the Minister of Defense is heard by the committee quite more often over the year. Whether it is within the scope of the legislative procedure, monitoring European affairs, supervising the involvement of Portuguese military contingents abroad, and technical and military cooperation or other issues of special interest. Similarity to all other parliamentary standing committees in their specific areas of competence, the National Defense Committee also considers petitions and grants audience to requesting entities, as is the case of associations of military professionals. On the other hand, the National Defense Committee is responsible for monitoring other important matters, such as the implementation of the Military Programming Law and Law on Military Infrastructure Programming. Therefore, in these cases, the law stipulates the obligation to submit reports to the committee on an annual basis. Furthermore, the National Defense Committee also monitors intelligence matters, namely by holding hearings with the Portuguese International Intelligence Service or with members of the Council for the Oversight of the Intelligence System of the Portuguese Republic. Another crucial aspect of the work carried out by the National Defense Committee, which I already mentioned, is the supervision of the involvement of Portuguese military contingents abroad, a competence which is independently enshrined in the Constitution and which was addressed in a law establishing the way in which such supervision shall be performed. As such, the National Defense Committee must be notified by the government of any decisions to involve military contingents abroad, and prior to making that decision, unless the nature of the mission substantiates that occurring only when the security term required by the action has been completed. This notification provided by the government must include the request which resulted in the involvement together with its ground, the draft decision or proposal of involvement, a list of military resources involved or to be involved, the type and level of risks estimated, and the foreseen duration of the mission, and also the elements, information, and the official publications deemed useful and necessary. The Portuguese Parliament doesn't authorize this kind of missions, but it's supervising what is happening with this mission, the targets, the composition of the mission, and what is the developing of the action of this mission.
That's okay. Okay, Turia.
This information consists of a report that must come to our committee twice a year, but it may also be called upon to provide occasional or urgent information at any moment. The government is also under the obligation to submit a final report within 60 days of the end of each mission. Additionally, the Defense Committee occasionally carries out visits to deployed Portuguese forces. I recall that during the 10th legislature, the committee visited our military forces in Bosnia, Kosovo, Lebanon, and Afghanistan. And during the current legislature, the committee visited the Portuguese contingent serving in the European Union training mission and the quick reaction force of MINUSCA in the Central African Republic. In relation to Portuguese military presence abroad, it is also worth mentioning technical and military cooperation, a subject on which the committee is regularly updated, namely through reports sent by the government and hearings with the Ministry of Defense and military leaders. Lastly, the committee organizes conferences with the participation of experts on issues relevant to its areas of competence, having held one last year on the armed forces and missions of public interest and another on military recruitment, difficulties and challenges. And with the participation of our assembly, we organized 3 weeks ago a meeting with the Deputy Secretary General of NATO, Mrs. Rose Guttmüller, in a university here in Lisbon. Parliamentary representation in external bodies. Another aspect I would like to mention is parliamentary representation in bodies external to the Assembly, which are of relevance in the national defense field, a function ensuring an important connection to this body. Such is the case of the Supreme National Defense Council, which is the primary consultation body in national defense matters. It is inherently composed by the chairman of the National Defense Committee and also by two MPs elected by a two-thirds majority of the members of the Assembly. This council is led by the President of the Republic, that is the Supreme Command of the Armed Forces. There is a similar situation in the case of the intelligence system of the Portuguese Republic. Therefore, the Assembly of the Republic elects two MPs for the Superior Intelligence Council, and the Parliament is also responsible for designating all three members of the Council for the Oversight of the Intelligence System of the Portuguese Republic, with a prior hearing in the National Defense Committee and Committee on Constitutional Affairs. It should also be mentioned that the person nominated for Secretary General of the Intelligence System of the Portuguese Republic must be heard by those two committees before his or her designation. And in addition to what I have already mentioned regarding external representation, the Assembly of the Republic keeps a close connection with various international organizations within the scope of security and defense that Portugal is a part of. This connection is essentially made through the participation of MPs in the parliamentary assemblies of those organizations, such as NATO, OSCE or CPLP. CPLP is the Community of Portuguese-speaking Countries. I cannot fail to mention that also in this respect, our National Defense Committee is very well represented, since several committee members take part in those parliamentary assemblies. European affairs. In complementarity with external presentation, I must also highlight another side of parliamentary activity which has grown in relevance over recent years and is now particularly important following the entry into force of the Treaty of Lisbon, which greatly strengthened the role of national parliaments of member states, granting them powers to pronounce on compliance with the principle of subsidiarity in the adoption of European legislative acts. This means in practice that specialist committees and the European Affairs Committee draw up reports which are subsequently sent to the government and to the presidents of the European Parliament, the Council and the European Commission, and aim at influencing the process of policy formulation or pending decision in order to better serve public interests. For this reason, the Constitution grants competences to the Assembly on this matter and the law on monitoring, assessment and pronouncement by the Assembly of the Republic within the scope of the process of constructing the European Union lays down the government's obligations towards the Parliament, namely to report on the subjects and positions that are to be discussed at European institutions, proposals that are under discussion and negotiations that are underway. On the other hand, it provides that an annual plenary debate shall be held in which the government shall take part for the purpose of discussion, Portugal's participation in Parliament structured cooperation. In addition, it also provides that joint meetings shall be held with the European Affairs Committee and the relevant member of the government prior to the meetings of the Council of European Union Foreign Affairs Ministers, in which permanent structured cooperation issues are to be debated. Another very important issue is the parliamentary scrutiny of common security and defence policy. While this matter preserves its intergovernmental nature, it is also true that for an effective scrutiny of the decisions made within this scope, there needs to be an institutionalized form of coordination among the several national parliaments of European Union member states. Therefore, the Interparliamentary Conference for the Common Foreign and Security Policy and the Common Security and Defence Policy was created, the biannual session of which took place this month in Bucharest. It is the country that has the leadership of the European Union nowadays, with a view to enabling the competent parliamentary committees in the multinational parliaments to cooperate on a regular basis and this way contribute to the effective scrutiny of decisions made within the scope of the CFSP and CSDP. On the other hand, the global strategy proposed by the High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Mrs. Mogherini nowadays, emphasizes the need to set an appropriate level of ambition and strategic autonomy for Europe as a guarantee for peace and security within the EU and outside its borders. Therefore, Member States made commitments in terms of mutual assistance and solidarity and pledged to step up their contribution to Europe's collective security in close cooperation with its partners, starting with NATO, but also relying on an integrated approach to conflict prevention and regional cooperation. Subsequently, the European Council of December 2016 approved the EU, the European Union Global Strategy Implementation Plan on Security and Defence, which sets a new level of ambition aimed at strengthening the Union in terms of security and defence in order to more effectively deal with the current threats and challenges with appropriate capabilities, instruments and structures to make citizens more secure. There is also a definition of priorities based on capacity building and strengthening the response capacity of civilian crisis management, enhancing cooperation and developing result-oriented capabilities, adjusting structures, mechanisms and financial instruments, reviewing the structures and capabilities available for the planning and conduct of CSDP missions and operations, and ensuring a high level of transparency in said planning and conduct, addressing the current shortcomings and bridging the gap of strategic level for the completion of military missions. The European Defence Action Plan was proposed, and it provides for the establishment of the European Defence Fund based on the need to invest in strategic capabilities, funding research on defence technology and equipment, strengthening the scientific and technological base of the European Union, and funding the joint development of defence capabilities. Therefore, we anticipate the promotion of investments in defense sector supply chains, as CMA access to funding and investments in this sector, enhanced support from EU funds, as well as the encouragement of regional clusters of excellence and maximization of synergies between the civilian and military sectors in all European Union policies. On the other hand, the European Council of June 2017 agreed on the need to launch an inclusive and ambitious permanent structure cooperation, PESCO. This cooperation provided for in the Treaty on the European Union is a key mechanism available to member states whose military capabilities fulfill higher criteria and which have made more binding commitments to one another in this area with a view to the most demanding missions, notably to facilitate development of defense capabilities. On 7 December 2017, the government stipulated Portugal participation as a founding member in the Permanent Structure Cooperation, PESCO, and mandated the Foreign Affairs Minister and Minister of National Defense to adopt all the formalities required for Portugal to take part in PESCO. I would like to emphasize that according to the resolution of the Council of Ministers, participation in PESCO shall be without prejudice to the specific nature of Portugal's national defense policy, as well as to the commitments made within other defense organizations that Portugal is part of, namely NATO, of course, instead enhancing and complementing these other dimensions of our defense architecture. Furthermore, this participation shall not affect sovereignty and autonomy in national decision-making processes with respect to capacity building as well as to the armed forces' engagement in missions and operations. As a matter of fact, PESCO is not intended to implicitly or explicitly build any supposed European army, nor to impose a specialization principle on any member state. And that's all for the moment, which was very exhaustive about the explanation of the work that MPs do in this Parliament related to defense, not only in the Defense Committee, but in the Assembly in general. And the issue of the questions related to the defense politics is one of the main points in our analysis in our Parliament. And laws of the defense sometimes are obliged to be voted by majorities, qualified majorities. 2/3 of the Assembly must vote in favor. So this is the relevance of our defense politics. So I talked a lot, as you know. I did see that to explain what is our work, not to avoid questions from you. So thank you for your raising of questions. Thank you very much.
So, questions, please, Michelle.
Sir, excuse me, sir.
Colonel Michel Lipsky from the French Air Force. We had a lot of briefing this morning explaining us the great efforts that Portugal and the armed forces has made in the last decade in order to regain sovereignty on their economy and sovereignty and a good state. Now it seems to be better for the perspective of the economy of Portugal are going to be better. The analyse that you have saw this morning were very nice. Strategically, the analysis is right. How do you intend to give more capabilities, financial capabilities in the future to the Portuguese armed forces in order to fulfill the duties and the perspective that they had been shown this morning? Thank you, sir.
If there is more questions, okay. Answer in two or three.
Let's see if there are any more questions, and we'll bundle them up. Andrea.
Good afternoon, sir. Commander Savino, Italian Navy. This morning were mentioned what are the plans for the renewal of military equipment for Portugal for armed forces. In particular, were mentioned about submarines and new patrol vessels. But according to an answer that I received, you are waiting for PESCO project in order to provide this kind of equipment. So my question is, what are the Portugal projects that you will support, you will ask to support with PESCO fund?
Let's go Patrick, and then we'll come to Peter, and then to Gilles.
Sir, Colonel Patrick Feuerhelm, Canadian Army. My question relates to the deployment of committee members to get better understanding of deployed operations of Portuguese troops. These visits, are they specifically provided to determine whether or not a mandate will be extended, whether there are capabilities that the Portuguese military requires, therefore it's a confirmation to enable a unforecasted procurement requirement or something like that? I'd appreciate your comments, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Peter, and then Gilles, and then we'll give we'll give him a break.
Mr. Vice President, Colonel Peter Vuhradík from the Czech Republic. You have stressed the need for civil-military cooperation in delivering...
Hang on 1 second, Peter.
What was this question?
He's going to ask it again.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Vice President, Colonel Vuhradík from the Czech Republic. You have stressed the need for civil-military cooperation in delivering the needed military capabilities ready to engage in operations. One of these capabilities is the European Battle Group. What role do you see for this battle group, and what do you see as the main obstacle for its deployments?
Okay. What's enough? Okay, we'll do three. Gilles, you get the next batter up.
That's okay, four. So you put first one, you put a great question, because we passed a great crisis some years ago in the area of the economy. And as you know, it was some global thing that attained Europe in general. You know, a lot of countries has problems with the budgets and so. But now we passed this period, and we're trying to have a capacity of investment in armed forces that corresponds to the needs of the armed forces in this process of modernization and in these processes of have the capabilities that they need to develop the missions. The point that we have in that way is that we are trying to attain the 2% that is required in NATO. And we think that it is possible to do that with the national budget, but we are trying also with a small percentage of the contribution of the defense fund of Europe, in order to attain during the period that is necessary to attain 2% in next years. So it is national budget, and then we are now discussing the programming law that is a lot for capacities, and we developed almost 50% more than it was the last law of program of programmation. And it is important because we are going to have the possibility to obtain some kind of the capacities that we need in our armed forces. So we are doing this work. It is not easy because we passed a very complex period. But anyway, we think that we could do that in order to give to our armed forces what they need to develop their missions. It's work that we are doing. So about what are the projects related to PESCO? It is an important question, but there is a moment that PESCO must define the reglements, the roles of this fund. It is not defined very well what are the kind of capacities that are going to be approved by this fund. So they must work a little bit more rapidly in order that we can put to their knowing projects that we have in order to have the support of this fund. Of course, the areas that we would like to deep is related to cyber defense, to technology, to modernizations and technologies that are in the top of our projects. So what we are going to do in the next future. But the fund must have some roles. They didn't define yet these roles, and it is important that they do that in order to have the presentation of our projects. We integrated this cooperation, the so-called PESCO. There was a debate in Portugal in our parliament and in our different structures in order to know what is our position about this PESCO. And we entered. We are one of the founders of this structured cooperation. Of course, that we had some points that we consider in this position. And I referred that during my presentation. It's that we understand that PESCO is not against and is complementary to NATO. NATO is the first point as supporter of our community of security in Europe. And so we must understand PESCO as a pillar of defense in this link to the Atlantic relation, what is NATO. And, of course, the creation of battle group. And so we are going to make an option in order to know what is the degree of cooperation or the presence of Portugal in one of these battle groups. But as you know, in the past there was the formation of these battle groups, but they didn't work very well, too much in the targets that they obtained. So let us see what is going to happen with this new formulation of the structure cooperation, and we are going to participate where it is possible to us, and we must analyze this each time that appears one mission to a battle group. Of course, in the area of Mediterranean is an area where we participate. We participate in the SOFIA operation, and we participate also in the safeguard, I think it's another one, it is the safeguard perhaps, I don't remember very well what is the name, This is two operations, one with the European Union, there is another one within NATO, and we participate in these operations in Mediterranean with what we feel it's a very important area to be present.
Okay.
More questions?
Yeah. Okay, Gilles. And then Hubert.
Allora potremmo parlare in Safe Garden.
Yep.
Safe Garden. Sophia Safe Garden.
Mr. Vice President, obrigado. My question is the following, and it's actually related to the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, where Portugal has some representative as all member state of the NATO. And I was wondering if you could share with us some insight about two reports the political committee of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly is working on at this moment. The first one by Julio Miranda Calha, sorry for my...
That's me.
That's my point, about security, stability in Africa and challenges, priorities for NATO. Can you share with us some insight you already have? I know it's not yet adopted, but it could be nice for us to have some insight from you. And the second one is about a report of Gerald Connolly about NATO at 70 and why the alliance remains indispensable. Thank you.
Okay.
One more.
One more.
Okay, Hubert, s'il vous plaît.
Mr. Vice President, Colonel Hubert Ronsin from the French Army, Committee 3. I would be very interested to have, from your perspective, what are the main challenges for the Portuguese armed forces in the coming 5 to 10 years? What are those main challenges, and what can be done to meet those challenges?
Enough for now.
Enough.
One more?
No.
Is there one more?
Okay. Okay, first one is interesting because it's something that I was studied. And I, as I mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, I visited AFRICOM, what is, was very important to understand a little bit more what is happening in Africa. But the point that is the reason why I presented this report is the point that was in the head of a lot of ministers of defense, mainly in the south of Europe, that thought that there is not only something of a challenge or threat at the east, but also at south. And we have a NATO that must have a 360 degrees oversee of everything and not fixed only in one part. So I try to demonstrate by my report that there are threats and things that we must think about what is happening in Africa. And as you know, there is some states that are failed states. This is the core business to terrorist groups and things like that. And we must pay attention to what is happening there. At the same time, there is an evolution in the different powers in the world that are investing very much in Africa. As you know, for instance, China and Russia also. So we must understand what this means in this continent. What is this to the, what is the meaning of this in worldwide and in international relations. So I have this document that I think is going to be approved, and I think that furnishes a lot of ideas about what are the challenges and threats that coming from the south. At the same time, we know what happens with these problems of refugees. This is provoked by conflicts in the Middle East and in North Africa, and we understand that is related to questions of security and defense. And so we must have our idea about what we could do in order to be attentive to this part of the world. That's that. So NATO, it's another report related to NATO 70s. Do you know that sometimes appears that idea, oh, why we need NATO? Well, it happens that the Soviet expansion, it's over, the Pact of Varsovia is over, but I think that we must think that NATO, it's a community of security and defense that passed during 70 years without wars and without conflicts. This must reflect that the what means NATO as a piece of security and defense for these countries that include the NATO. And as you know, it is not conceivable, and we didn't think what could be, what could happen as a conflict between members of NATO. And as you remember, NATO was created because of the dysfunction of the Soviet Union at that time to avoid the creation of military nationalisms that could come or bring problems of security between the countries of NATO, and at the same time to the integration in Europe. We must remember that the integration in Europe also was something that was commented years ago in order to have complicity and cooperation between countries, because as you remember, wars began always in Europe. The First and Second War began in Europe, so, and spread everywhere. But the integration of Europe is a project in order to create conditions for peace and security in these continents, Europe and North America, of course. This is the Atlantism. What are the challenges to our armed forces? Well, what we try to do with a budget that is not very great is to give to our armed forces the capabilities that we can attain in order that they have good conditions to develop their activities and their missions. As I said to you, now we are discussing in our parliament these capacities. This is a programming law, like in France, ils ont la programmation militaire. Here is a programmation militaire, and that is a way to have a program for 12 years, and it has the capacity of revision each 4 years, in order to create conditions to support those kind of capacities that are needed. And we have now a program that, as I said to you, that it is because we passed a great problem of crisis, that is almost a double of the last law that was made about this subject. So we are going to when we have this law, the law is prepared inside the armed forces. They have a council in order to discuss what is needed and what is the priorities of the capacities they need. And after, is presented to political power in order to have the scrutiny of that and present law to approve it in the government, and after to come to the assembly. And our challenge is to have the best conditions in our armed forces. We have not a special program, but in this law we have two main programs. This is have a lot of money to do that. Is the LPD, the logistic platform DOC. This is a ship to bring or integrate not only cars of combat or aircrafts. This is, I think that you know what is LPD, so it's the LPD, it is, it costs a lot. And the second is a strategic aircraft that we are going also to buy. So this is the two programs that need more support in money. But anyway, there are other parts that we are improving in ships and airplanes that are important, in helicopters also. We are participating in a mission in the Republic of Central Africa with our army, and we need that. There is a necessity of airplanes, helicopters to work with our unities in land. So this is the things that we are going to try to obtain in the next 12 years.
Do you have time for more questions, sir? Oh. Hey, we've got time for a couple more. Please.
Okay.
Señor, obrigado. Lieutenant Colonel Sanchez from Spain. You've very well talked about the need for a truly 360 approach in NATO. And coming as I am also from a southern country, the idea is that not all of the members have the same intention in sharing the needs and the preoccupations in the south or in the east. You, as a member of a parliamentary assembly of NATO, what are your insights on how can we truly develop a common understanding, apart from presenting the well reports such as yours, apart from trying to, everyone we get together in NAC or whatever the forum is, try to ensure that everybody hears us? How can we develop a truly understanding that the need, even though any of the individual countries don't feel that need, how are we able to share the need too, and then share the vision and the understanding of the whole idea? Thank you.
Mm. A couple more. So, Cristinal in the back, please.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. Colonel Kolibaba, Romanian Army.
From Romania.
Okay. Sir, we've been briefed today that Portugal, as many other countries, you face problem regarding recruitment for your armed services. So, from a defense committee perspective, what are you going to do to overpass or to overcome the recruitment issue? Thank you.
One more. Go ahead, Jamisha.
Mr. Vice President, I'm Colonel Meunier from France. With your permission, I would have a question for your colleagues. If I understand, they are from different political families. I would be interested to know if there is a consensus on military issues, or if there are some discussions, opposition regarding budget, deployment, strategy, Russia, China. Thank you very much.
So, this subject of the East and South, there was something that was put on the table and in the political discussion some years ago. But the problem was raised by the signature of a collaboration between the four countries of the South,
and four countries was Portugal, Spain, France, and Italy that subscribed a letter in order that NATO take attention to the South. And of course this made some kind of doctrine in interior of NATO in order that they faced the problem and they proposed that view of 360 under degrees. Yes, because these countries and the South mainly thought that things were only with their worry of East threat. But it is not that. It is a little bit more. And when we are thinking about terrorism and so, we know what is happening in some countries in Africa, what happened in Libya. Libya is a center of terrorists and other places, and there are a lot of groups, terrorist groups in the Sahel, in the middle of Europe, of Africa. So that was an attention, and this was taken by four countries that made this declaration, and this was taken in attention. So the things are working better in that way. My report is related to that, because as it was decided this, I propose that we made a report about what is the situation in Africa, what is there. And this is very interesting because we noticed there a lot of things, and I visited the AFRICOM also in this way to have more information, and it was very interesting what is happening in Africa and what the West and our NATO must pay attention to the evolution, what is happening in that area, that's that. And we noticed what is the influence of some countries there, some superpowers that are entering in this area without any kind of attention, but we don't know what is the result of these investments that are made in great force in that area of the world. So we are doing this, and we think that NATO is going to take this in account, and we have NATO created the hub that is situated in Naples, as you know, and a center also linked to these questions of South, but in the Middle East, that it was in Kuwait. So these are the responses to answers to the questions of these countries of the South to situate and to raise this kind of structures in order to be informed about what is happening and what we can do in order to face that kind of things, that kind of threats coming from down. And we have relations with the Africa Union and the League of Arabs, Arabic, in order to have the best information and where we can help. What can we do in that kind of situation? Some kind situations, what is needed is some kind of support and trainings and information to these countries in order they can avoid the entrance of these groups that are challenging our security and our way of life.
Okay. Chris, can you just ask your question one more time, concisely?
Yes, sir. Sir, from a Defense Committee perspective, what can be done to increase the number of young people that want to join the military? Mm-hmm. So, one short.
Yes, that is a great question, because we feel that, you know, in a lot of countries in Europe. And the point is that, first of all, we must have a kind of information to the public in general what is the necessity of our armed forces and at the same time what this means to the security of people. Because last decades Europe thought that, oh, there are no problems in the world, so let's facilitate some kind of thing. And we enter in a period of non-professional. We come from a period of military duty
to a period of professional military. And so we are living nowadays with this, and we have problems of recruitment everywhere. But the idea is to have an opportunity to sensibilize the people in general about the problems and what is the needed of security and defense, and at the same time to create some kind of conditions to attract people to the armed forces. We have an information, I am linked also, and we formed in our assembly a committee related to information, education and things like that in order to fulfill this program of NATO that is called We Are NATO. And this means programs to the, in the area of education to different levels of schools in order to inform young people about security matters and what is needed to face and to have a better situation in this kind of tranquility and peace that we are our way of life. We noticed during some years ago that what happened with Daesh that attracted young people to their countries to fight on the area of terrorists. What is incredible that such a thing could happen. So what we must is to have some kind of programs in the level of schools and levels of education in order to prepare and inform people in general, not only about the necessity of recruitment, but at the same time to interest people about these issues of security that are very important, that we feel some kind of feeling about that. That's what we are doing. And we have programs on that way. Nowadays, for instance, I know this is a collaboration between assembly, institutions related to the Atlantic Treaty also, and at the same time governments. And I know that we are developing initiatives in the universities and in the institutes of education in order to inform and prepare people and inform young people in order to participate in what is the necessity of defense of his own country. I know that you vão ter uma reunião em Faro, não é? So the, our Institute of National Defense, that is represented here by Dr. Isabel Nunes, is developing this kind also of initiatives in different parts, and the next 2 of June is going to take place another one with the presence of the of minister, I think, and experts in these areas of defense, and it's the way to sensibilize the public and the great public about the things and the problems of recruit. Because in the, we must have conditions and some kind of attraction of young people to come to the armed forces. Is this related to payments and what kind of conditions? Nowadays we have a professional army. So what we give as guarantee to those that are 8 years or more or less in the armed forces, and when they go to exterior, what they could obtain with that, with this formation, this period in military activities, and after the end of this contract with the armed forces, what are they going to do in the civil life? So we must guarantee some kind of attractions in order that people come to the armed forces, but at the same time have some kind of guarantee of an activity, a profession in the future. So is that? We are working on that. For instance, I say that yesterday there was a new in our country. about the idea of the defense to have nurseries in the unities of militaries in order to attack the women to come to the armed forces. So this is another way to have some kind of conditions and people come to have military duty.
So you had a question about consensus from your colleagues.
Yes.
Thank you so much. One of the questions was especially to the opposition parties that are here represented. I want to, first of all, on behalf of the PSD.
There was a question about that.
Yes, this is the main opposition party here at the Parliament, and to salute as also as coordinator and also the MP Luis Pedro Pimentel as deputy coordinator of PSD on the National Defense Committee, to salute all the militaries of the different armed forces of NATO, of this delegation here present of on our Parliament. Ask me about the consensus about the main issues regarding the national defense. I think yes, the answer is yes. It is not 100% a consensus, of course. There are different perspectives, different views, but on the essential, we agree. Especially on this is the NATO question. It's we agree almost on everything. Our delegation on NATO is composed by three main parties: the Socialists, Social Democrats, as also as the Christian Democrats, and there is a great consensus among us on the NATO issues. Nevertheless, we have talked, Honourable Miranda Calha has talked about the law that we are going discuss on this Parliament, the
programmation law.
Yes, the programmation law. We are on a second stage. We approved the law on generality, so we are discussing on speciality, and there are some different perspectives about the resources to on the Navy, for instance. So we believe that it is important for Portugal to have an LDP ship. But nevertheless, the kind of amount that is addicted to the LDP is too high, and that could represent that our three of our five frigates are not updated. So we need to have the military power for a nation like Portugal with that controls a huge amount of waters in the North Atlantic. So for us it's important that we can have a cheaper, if you want, LDP in order to have to maintain our power, our naval power. It is important. Otherwise we will have shortcomings on these issues. So, but on the essential, we agree on everything. About just one other thing, if you allow me, the question of the South Front from NATO. I think it is very important. You know that especially Africa put a lot of pressure on the MENA countries, I mean the Middle East, and especially North African countries. We have a volatile situation in Libya, for the time being, and we don't know exactly what could happening in the about the stability in Algeria with those movements that someone has called a kind of Arab Spring 2.0. So this is very important, especially because the democratic pressure on sub-Saharan Africa put a lot of pressure on the North Africa. That most of the migrants stay in North Africa. They cannot cross to Europe, and also the radicalization, because we have defeated militarily ISIS in Syria, in Iraq. That's only the easy part, because most of those foreign fighters goes to Africa, and the kind of the level of radicalization that we assist on those countries, it's very high, and we can have very important problems of security on those areas. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This is my colleague. As he said, he is of the opposition. For me, it's only a member of the parliament, as a colleague. So it's the way we work together in our defense committee. Because this is a national issue, it is not the place for a political bargaining about everything. So it's our understanding about these issues. Thank you, Pedro, for your answer.
Time for more questions? Or are we done? One more. I think we have. So Mohammed was.
So Mohammed first, and then we'll come over here.
C'est une question arrive en français, je pense.
Oui. Ok, vous pouvez parler en français, il n'y a pas de problème.
Est-ce qu'on peut poser une question en français?
Très bien.
Merci, colonel de l'armée mauritanienne. On parle depuis quelques années de la défense collective ou commune de l'Europe. Est-ce que cette question est discutée actuellement au niveau du Parlement européen? Sinon, est-ce qu'on s'attend à ce qu'elle le soit à l'avenir? Je vous remercie.
Je n'ai pas compris quel est le pays d'origine. À Mauritanie.
République islamique de Mauritanie.
Et vous pouvez répéter la question que je n'ai pas compris très bien.
À la question.
Oui.
La question, depuis quelques années.
Oui, c'est ça.
Depuis quelques années, on parle de la défense collective de l'Europe.
Oui.
Ma question est la suivante. Est-ce que cette question est discutée actuellement au niveau du Parlement européen? Sinon, est-ce qu'on peut s'attendre à ce qu'elle le soit dans un avenir, dans l'avenir, quoi? Voilà. Merci.
Alors, il n'y a pas quelques années, il y a beaucoup d'années qui se parle de l'Europe de la défense. Mais les pas sont un peu lents au long des années. Mais je pense que les dernières années ont eu des pas très rapides. Il était la création de la coopération structurée permanente, qui est une idée de mouvement de cette secteur. Et je pense que l'idée d'une stratégie globale, comme a défini Madame Mogherini, qui est la vice-présidente du secteur de la défense et de la sécurité, et même est responsable des questions de relations extérieures de l'Europe. Mais je pense que vous savez que c'est un domaine très difficile d'évoluer, parce que vous avez parlé du Parlement européen, mais il y a une chose, la question de la défense et des relations extérieures, c'est une question intergouvernementale. Et comme elle est d'une area, d'un secteur intergouvernemental, c'est toujours entre les gouvernements. C'est pas une question pour le Parlement. Le Parlement aussi, européen, n'a pas une commission de défense. A une commission pour les relations extérieures et a une sub-commission qui analyse aussi les questions de défense. Mais il n'y a pas une commission de défense. Je répète, c'est une politique intergouvernementale. C'est ça. Et voilà, c'est ça. Mais les dernières années, il a eu des pas très, très positifs à propos de la création de la coopération structurée permanente et la création d'un fonds pour la défense. C'est une nouvelle attention qui a été mise sur le plan de la défense en Europe. Mais vous voyez, nous sommes 29 pays et il y a beaucoup de sensibilité à propos de ça. Mais les choses ont donné un pas très important et très large les dernières années. Nous allons voir l'évolution des événements.
I think there was another question or two up there. Antonella and another? No. Okay, so Antonella, please.
Good morning, sir. Lieutenant Colonel Iasilli from Italian National Police. So, the 26th of May is almost coming, and Portugal looks immune from the populism wave that is up to the next European election. And according to you, are there populist movement that could put an end to the EU as we know, or is the same? It's EU itself that is pushing this movement to victory because of its inability of to solve problems. I think especially to the failure of the management of migration flow, shared choices in foreign policies.
C'est une question politique, comme vous savez. Yes, but it's okay. Well, we don't know. There are different movements in Europe, different sensibilities, and of course that Europe is going to have a parliament that we don't know what is the final combination of parties in represented in the parliament. Well, let us see that the things come quietly in the next future. It's the way, because we understand what is the populist movements and some other kind of movements that are very nationalistic, and this is not the roles of the tolerance and understanding that we develop or must develop in Europe. So let's hope that the gods are with us and the things are going to run well. And what is the contribution of Italy to that?
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more, I think. Please, go ahead.
Mr. Vice President, Colonel Michel Lipsky from the French Air Force again. Dealing with the disaster in Mozambique, we are very happy to be on your side to help this country. Do you think that we should develop within the framework of NATO solutions, humanitarian solutions as well? Should it remain a topic for the EU, or maybe is finally a nation taking the lead, the best solution to help in such crisis, on humanitarian crisis? Thank you, sir.
Well, the nature of the help could come from every place, every area. But I noticed, and it was interesting, I was in Stuttgart, as I said to you, in AFRICOM, with my colleague that is here, that is my colleague Luis Pimentel, and we had the opportunity to know that AFRICOM is going to develop a mission to help Mozambique. This is a great disaster, an enormous disaster, and they are going to prepare a mission to help Mozambique. It was AFRICOM. And you remember last year it was in Pakistan when NATO itself developed a program and a mission to help, because of the earthquake in Pakistan, to help this country. So everything that could come to help these people is welcome. And anyway, it could be AFRICOM, it could be NATO, it could be the European Union and the United Nations, and all bodies must understand that was take place there a great disaster. And this is to help the humanitarian help to Mozambique is very important. So it's what I can say to that. My country also has developed missions to help in medicines and with armed forces to help to recognize people still alive in these fields, destructed fields. So if you have the possibility to transmit
our interest in helping Mozambique to anyone, anybody, any organization that is good. This is really a very great disaster, with the destruction of a lot of places and villages, and the next days are crucial to that, because people without eating, with the problem of illness that could come in these moments, it's very important and must be very quickly. Thank you.
Well, sir, thank you very much. I think the time is upon us.
Okay, very well. Good.
Okay, so thank you. I just wanted to formally say thank you, sir, for joining us and having us in your house. This is a beautiful place.
This was a former Senate, but we have only one chamber. This is only Parliament, but before we had a Parliament and a kind of a Senate.
Well, it's a magnificent room, and I think the conversations, your remarks, and the question and answers were befitting of the room in a magnificent way. When we undertook this field study, General Eisenhower, when he founded the school, asked the course members to get a better understanding of the many factors involved in transatlantic security, and I think today was a great opportunity to discuss Portugal's place in that, and answering that question. And it comes at the end of a 2-week trip where the course members were in London and Paris and Madrid and now here in Lisbon. And one of the other aspects, of course, as we look at those many factors, are not just the historic and cultural and geographic, religious and economic factors, but also the political factors and the civil-military relation aspects of that. And that was quite evident today in your remarks. I think I marked the word competence or political competence a number of times. So thank you very much for highlighting the role that the Parliament has in this relationship and security. So we're quite pleased to do that and be here. And I also just have to make a remark that I've learned more about PESCO this last 2 weeks than I think I had previously. In fact, I asked Felix what he thought about PESCO, and he said he preferred Coke. So just to tell you the quality of the conversation Felix and I have in the car, that's about it. But sir, thank you very much. And on behalf of the class, we'd like to present you with a token of our appreciation.
So we are not unarmed. So we have also a remembrance to your college. This is from.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. You're going to say. And thank you, Isabel, for hosting us. And I'll just turn the floor over to you, I suppose. Thanks.
I think we must have a photo after.
Okay,
so you have the floor.
So thank you very much. With the permission of our host, I would like to express three orders of appreciation, and I will be very brief. The first appreciation goes to our host for hosting and for making the time to receive us today in such a warm, welcoming way as its habit. And also for this comprehensive explanation on the role of the Parliament with a specific focus on the role of the Defense Committee. On behalf of the Director of the National Defense Institute, I would also like to express our thanks to Dean and Deputy Commandant Stefan Mariano for bringing the NATO Defense College Senior Course to Lisbon. and for enabling this very good opportunity to exchange formally and informally very different views with the course participants. And with the diversity of opinions and origins which transcend the transatlantic family, because I would say that this audience is almost a global audience. So to all of you, we would like to wish you a very good course. To Dean Stefan Marianu, we would like to wish the best of success in his mandate, not only as Dean of the course, of the college, sorry, but also as Deputy Commandant. We wish you a very pleasant stay in Lisbon and that you come back, as I said yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Vice President, you'd like a photo, I think, with us. Is that possible to do here?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent.
So, as we say in the pictures, that's all, folks. Thank you very much.
So, should we go around on this side?
Okay.
Come back here. Oh, okay.
Yeah,